Now, the rest of the story. John Conroy was a rascal. Oh, he was charming. But he was an unconscionable rogue who would stop at nothing, not even cruelty, to get what he wanted. Now, it so happened that in the neighborhood lived a widow named Mary and her young daughter. Mary had little money. However, her daughter was due to inherit quite a fortune. On the girl's 18th birthday, she would become beneficiary of an enormous trust. It surprised no one, then, when the ambitious John Conroy began making eyes at Mary and ultimately seduced her. And together they plotted to rob Mary's little girl of her inheritance. She was a beautiful child, fair-haired and blue-eyed, yet possessing a strong, self-confident personality. Conroy's next challenge was to break the youngster's spirit so that he alone could control her. This was easier plotted than produced. The girl was isolated, humiliated, but still her character remained firm. Conroy persisted. For if through his efforts the child could eventually be driven insane, she would be declared legally incompetent. And then her inheritance would pass to her mother Mary. And then Conroy would have it all. So, he began spreading rumors in the community, suggestions that the little girl was becoming mentally unstable, or that perhaps she had been retarded all along. Too bad, Conroy would say. Meanwhile, he became more insistent of Mary's cooperation. The child must be coerced, he demanded, must be locked in a room, denied food, anything to get her to relinquish her inheritance to them. At last the opportunity arose. The girl came down with a severe case of typhoid fever. She lost her beautiful golden hair. She lost so much weight that her large blue eyes seemed to stare from a skeleton. It was time to strike. And one dreadful evening, Conroy burst into the girl's room. At first he apologized for the intrusion, but there was a matter of the most grave importance, he said, which must be resolved immediately. Well, obviously, the little girl was too weak and sick to manage her own affairs. What she needed, said Conroy, was him, a wise man, wise enough to look after things properly, a man of superior intelligence and judgment. All the girl had to do, he said, was to sign this agreement, an agreement which would put him in charge. Perilously frail, the teenager said that she would need time to consider what it all meant. Please, wouldn't Conroy just leave her alone? She was tired. She needed sleep. But no, Conroy would not leave. Hoping to drive her to the breaking point, he attacked the girl mercilessly, finally thrusting pen and paper before her, commanding her to sign. And yet, despite the long and terrible onslaught, the girl refused to sign anything until, eventually, Conroy, defeated, withdrew. Had she not won that fearful duel, how different history would have been. But by conquering the nightmare of her youth, by resisting the malevolent forces around her all those years until she reached the age of 18, she received her rightful royal inheritance. And she became England's queen. Had John Conroy's plan succeeded, and his abuse was more graphic than I have here detailed, Mother Mary would have ruled in her daughter's place, and of course John Conroy would have ruled over all. But instead, an entire glorious age was named for the girl who never gave in, a beleaguered, abused child called Victoria. And now you know the rest of the story.